You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I am your host, Bart Zandbergen. In studio today, as normal, we have Paul. Paul, how are you today?
I'm doing good. We're talking movies here beforehand. What was the movie you guys both said you watched 100 million times there?
I will plead the fifth.
I've got a two-year-old, so I can proudly say it's Moana.
Moana, there you go.
Now, Paul, I was gone last week, and I'm going to give you a hint where I was.
Where were you? Let's see. Tick-tock. Where in the world was Waldo or whatever?
The greeting word is Yarana.
Yarana.
And it also is associated with the movie Moana.
Could it be Tahiti?
I was in Tahiti, indeed.
How cool is that? I always wanted to go to Tahiti. And you guys were talking about Tahiti beforehand here.
Yeah, it's a great
place. Which islands did you go to?
So this particular trip was just Moorea, or Moorea, as they would say. My wife has family there, so we were there visiting. Very nice.
How wonderful is that?
And that's where my wife and I got engaged, in Moorea.
Oh, that's right. So another Tahiti fan here. So speaking of Tahiti fans and other guests, we have a very special guest today, Dr. Mark Olson, DDS, of Modern Dentistry and Cosmetic Dentist. Mark, why don't you start by just telling the listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got to be where you are today.
Yeah, so it's kind of a long story, but in a nutshell, I came from a dental family. My father was a dentist, and this was in the Bay Area. Never was really actively thinking about it until after his passing, actually. But I grew up loving to work with my hands and also loved art. So it's a great way to kind of synthesize science and art and be my own boss. And he never worked Fridays. So that was literally the first thing that made me say, you know what, maybe I should look into this. So Fridays are off, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So here we are.
All right.
So it's been about 15 years since I got out of school.
Cool. Well, I'm going to have you elaborate on that a little bit more in a minute. But let's just kind of start here. Kind of a thought that I had, as the listeners know, this is a financially based show, but I like to once a month or so bring in something a little bit more lifestyle. And the integration here is something along the lines of, so some of us, I was going to joke and say I'm going to exclude Paul, but I'm just going to say the joke anyway.
Go ahead.
Some of us spend a lot of money on clothes, you know, to look good and be professional. We're kind of our personal versus a professional image. And we talk, you and I, about working out again for the personal professional image.
Hey, I buy new clothes once a year, whether I need them or not. Come on.
Smile, right? So how valuable, in your opinion, is a smile in someone's, their image, self-confidence, etc.?
Yeah, it's interesting because we see people when they go through a transformation. You know, when we take them from when we first meet them and walk them through the process of upgrading their smile, whether it be moving teeth, replacing teeth, upgrading looks, whitening, whatever it is, a lot of times it's much more than just the physical change to the tooth. We'll see someone's personality unlock. So that's what I love, is that process and kind of coaching a person to really decide that it makes sense and it's worth moving forward, you know? And so you'll see people like, you know, you'll see a job promotion come soon after we do a smile upgrade. You'll see a relationship improve, or maybe they'll leave a deadbeat spouse or something like that. So to know that, you know, we have a small part in that bigger transformation, that's really cool. So that's what I probably love the most.
Yeah. And I wonder how much of that is really just, certainly the great work, of course, that goes without saying, but the confidence that it might help create.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the mouth is so interesting, right? It's really intimate, right? It's how we interact with other people. You share intimate moments, we eat with it, and I think it's a huge sign of trust and relationship building. And so if you can unlock that, I think it's kind of a gateway to your real personality. So you're not like in plastic surgery, you might do something really, you know, super dramatic with like a facelift or something that's just unrealistic. But with a smile, I think the goal is to just make it natural and help that person just become the bigger, better version of themselves that they already are in there somewhere.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Totally. You know, it seems like as a patient of yours, so much in advancements and technology, I mean, some of the things that you've shown me and what we've done seems amazing. Now, how has that changed over the years while you've been in the business?
It's so dynamic. I mean, it's so dynamic. I feel that if I'm not constantly on it, I'll get left behind. And I guess that's kind of just my mindset. I've always been like an early adopter of technology. But I've looked at it like this. I mean, we as an industry, we have a few things stacked against us. I mean, people that have never met us always come in with their dental story, their baggage. And it's not like everyone's banging our door down and fired up to come see us. You know, usually it's in a time of need.
Yeah.
There's a financial concern associated with it. They might start thinking about old childhood dental memories or dental trauma even. It can get really deep and pretty psychological with some of our patients. And so I try to just, yeah, use every advantage that we can. And so if we can change that perception with technology and a different experience, I mean, I'll take any advantage I can, you know. And I know when people are comfortable too, that's when we do our best work. That's when I'm most comfortable. And so if tech helps me do that quicker, faster, and more predictably, then
yeah
I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, I was starting to think from orthodontics, right?
Yes.
So you're technically not an orthodontist.
No, yeah.
But, you know, as we sit here and we speak, and Paul may or may not have figured out, I mean, I'm wearing Invisalign right now.
Yes, that's actually the real reason I'm here, just to make sure you're wearing it. And you are, so I'm so excited.
22 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yes. So couple questions. One, what is the future, in your opinion, of orthodontists? And then two, how has that advancement in technology changed, just in that area alone, changed your practice?
Yeah, I mean, orthodontics is changing a ton. There's always going to be a need for that as a specialty because, okay. I mean, there's a lot of big functional things that orthodontists are specialized in treating. So like skeletal discrepancies where bones are growing at different rates and the teeth are involved in that whole story. So they do a lot of early interceptive work that's almost developmental in nature, you know, so yeah. They're always going to be around for that. Aligner therapy like Invisalign is great. It's proven, it's super popular now, but it's got limitations. So if you've got a big functional problem and you're trying to correct that foundation, sometimes Invisalign's limited. So, you know, it fits this nice little middle of the road option where you'd have someone that wants a change. They don't want to do braces.
Yeah.
And, you know, most adults, let's be honest, you wouldn't, you're too suave for that. I can't see you with a full set of train tracks.
Well, believe it or not, I had them when I was 40.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
2 years.
You got to bring up some pictures.
Yeah. Not fun. What would you say or, let's call it top three or top five, people come in cosmetic-wise? Of course, there's always going to be functional things or something of pain, but like what are top five?
Whitening is probably the biggest one, you know, just because people are aware of that. And I think what's interesting is a lot of patients don't really understand what they need to do. You know, they might have noticed some changes in a smile and they'll say, hey, well, you know, things are getting a little bit aged. Let's do some whitening. But then they may not realize maybe the smile has collapsed a little bit, or maybe they're not showing as much tooth as they used to. So that's probably the biggest one. Invisalign's a big, you know, early question that patients will ask us because they've seen marketing on, you know, other areas and come in for that. We see people, of course, because of emergencies, you know, so that'll motivate someone to come in. Veneers is a big one, especially in Newport Beach. So that's one of our fortes. So yeah, it's kind of all over. You know, then some people just want your regular bread and butter general dentistry as well.
Yeah. What is the actual definition of like modern dentistry, cosmetic dentistry? Is there a difference?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, cosmetic dentistry was like a big buzz term, like in the 90s. That's when our industry had this like, you know, big rush of people claiming that they were all cosmetic dentists. And I think people did a lot of work in the hopes of making things look better, but without really understanding the function. So, you know, I think we're a little different. We're, I would say, a comprehensive office. I mean, we understand the function. And when things are in the right spot and they function well, they always look awesome. That's kind of how biology designed things. Mm-hmm. So that's really our focus, is using modern technology, you know, so that we can do this as quickly and as efficiently and as predictably and as comfortably for our patients. So I think that's kind of what sets us apart from just saying, oh, we're a cosmetic office only kind of a thing. And we do a ton of general dentistry too, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought we'd switch gears a little bit, because a lot of our listeners, you know, are business owners. And at the end of the day, you're a business owner. I'm a business owner. And part of that, I think, comes into investing in your business and investing in technology. I know your office just went through an extreme makeover. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Kind of the mindset there.
So we bought a practice knowing that we had a great location. And this was about 2.5 years ago, but it was run down. So, you know, rather than thinking this was a horrible, you know, decision, it was actually, you know, I saw an opportunity there because there weren't a lot of systems in place. To our disadvantage as dentists, we're not taught anything about business. So it kind of goes to that whole e-myth concept where you think you're good with your hands and working with people, so therefore I must be an awesome business person. But the two are totally different. So I've had to learn a ton of stuff, you know, along the way. But I've always invested in, you know, coaches, you know, not just with business, but just for me, so I can keep my head straight in a pretty demanding profession. Yeah. And then technology and like this remodel, knowing that ultimately it's for my benefit. You know, when I'm doing good and I'm feeling good and doing my best work, my patients benefit, I benefit, my team does. So we invested a lot in this practice. Got a little scary at times, but looking back now, just a few months after that, it was completely worth it.
Yeah.
So I believe in that big time.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I hear most often in any professional, right? Hey, I'm now a whatever, you name a professional, a CPA, lawyer, I'm going to put a shingle out.
Yeah.
Or even an advisor like myself, and automatically the business is going to come, and that's not the case.
Yeah, no, especially now, especially in a market like Southern California, it's saturated. Uh-huh. There's competition and everything. And I think we can use that to our advantage, but you've got to have, no matter what industry you're in, I think something that differentiates you, something that makes you a bit unique. And as I've kind of matured, I've realized that I think the real secret in business, it's really not separate from your personal life. It's just an extension of who you are. So you've got to somehow honor, I think, your personality and what you do and let that shine in your vision or your, whatever it is. Yeah. And I think that's the key. It's a little more natural that way, you know?
Yeah. I love that kind of that topic. Do you have your own like personal vision statements, professional vision, mission, all that stuff?
Yeah, it's so funny. I did this with my first office. So I had an office up in Northern California. I started from scratch. So my father was a dentist and he passed away really unexpectedly. Yeah. But my plan all along was that he and I were going to work together and I was going to transition into the practice. So all that changed really, really quickly. And so I said, well, I'm going to strike out and do this on my own. I kind of know what type of business I want to, you know, run. And it was based on some of the things that he had taught me about what made him successful. But the first thing I did was I picked a logo. And I'm very visual. And so I designed my logo because I think I think logos are incredibly important. You know, I think that says a ton about you. And that's your one symbol, just like an app icon of who you are as a business. And so I think even just designing your logo and, you know, your little catchphrase or whatever it is, I think is a great starting point. It's then tangible, and then you kind of say, okay, now what would that place look like for this type of business?
Yeah.
And kind of, so I love that process. Building a business and the design part of it, I think, is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Super cool.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy 3 with triple points on airfare. Buy 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
All right, back to Bart and his guest.
All right, welcome back, everyone. All right, so Mark, I know that you mentioned you made that move from Northern Cal, correct?
Yeah.
So what prompted that, and how was the transition?
Yeah, it was interesting. I think if we knew how involved it would have been on the front end, we probably never would have done it. So there was some like very convenient ignorance that was working in our favor for sure. But I mean, we had a great business. It was almost debt free. We'd established a reputation over the last 10 years, but I think deep down we just weren't really satisfied. You know, it was a great area, great location. Business was doing great, but we just said there's a little something else missing. I went to school down south. I always missed the beach. My wife's sister's here. And so, yeah, we just said, let's just do it. Let's get crazy. And yeah, sold the business, sold the house, everything.
Wow. And so the process was, had you located the new one first and okay, now we know what we're doing, or is it like I'll sell everything and then we'll figure it out after?
You know what? This is actually a great story. So I was waiting for this perfect storm. You know, I had my practice on the market at one point and we had an offer right off the bat at full price, and we had a kind of unique style practice where there weren't a lot of people that would take on the project that we had created. We got this offer and I didn't have an end point, you know, for where I was going. I didn't know for sure where we were going to be. It was going to be somewhere in Southern California and everything just wasn't perfectly lined up. So I pulled out of the deal and just was like, hey, I'm not ready. Let's just think this through a little bit more. The same feelings came back a few months. I'm like, what am I doing? No, I should have just, you know, stuck with my guns and, you know, moved when we did. So we ended up putting the practice on the market again. And I was debating on, you know, how I should do this. And I called a mentor of mine who's a dentist as well. And I'm like, you know, I'm just waiting to find a practice that I can identify and transition into that. And he just looked at me and he goes, what are you doing, man? Just friggin' do it and figure it out later. And it was like brash, but amazing. You know, it was like, do it and you figure it out later. And you will. And I think taking a leap of faith and selling my home and my business gave me no option but to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of when I was like, God, so simple, but pretty profound too.
Yeah. You know, that's a great, we talked about earlier about business lessons. That's a great lesson. That's a life lesson / business lesson.
Yeah. I always say these business lessons that we go through, it's like that roller coaster when you're going up and you know, you're kind of ratcheting so you can never fall back down. I feel every time you have one of those lessons, you just kind of, now we're at this elevated level and you'll never go down below that. You're constantly raising your bar.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with that, but I also think in life and in business, at least maybe it's just me, I might take 3 or 4 or 5 steps forward, and then it's a step or two back.
Oh, yeah.
And then forward. And by I might mean, you know what, I've reached a particular level. Now I need to bring in a new associate. So by that I mean, so let's say my income goes down because I'm paying for an associate to help ramp up to the next 3 or 4 or 5 levels.
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah, we see that same pattern too. It's like plate spinning, right? Just when you have a few systems running, I think sometimes when you're a driver, you create a new situation, right? Let's bring on an associate. Yeah. Let's add a room. Let's expand. Let's remodel, right?
Yeah.
And then in a way, you've created an issue and problems arise, but ultimately,
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen the same thing for sure.
So any other business lessons come to mind?
I think one overall philosophy with how we've tried to run our business is with systems. You know, we were talking, before we went on air about piloting and checklists. And I read this book once called The Checklist Manifesto, and it was about healthcare and how in some of these developing countries where they had high issues with like post-operative infections and post-operative deaths, even in these like rural third world, you know, clinics, they just made simple checklists. And this doctor went in and said, okay, step one, wash your hands. And it sounds so simple, but when you're in this high performance environment and your brain is processing multiple things at once, I think sometimes we forget even, did I do that last night or did I do it today? And things kind of blend together. So, you know, even pilots who have flown thousands of times, you would probably prefer your Marea pilot flew you with a checklist, right? Yeah. So checklists are huge. The E-Myth is an awesome book.
Great book.
Yeah, that's probably
the new edition's cool too.
Oh, I haven't checked it out yet, but I think, one of the lines I loved from that was create extraordinary systems so that average people can get extraordinary results, you know, because if you rely on superstars, at least in my experience, it's an amazing thing when everything's there and you're humming on all cylinders, but you know, there's dynamics to all of our teams, and the one thing that's true is we'll always have transition. So if you lose your superstars and you don't have systems to hit the ground running with, or like a franchise prototype. So even though I'll probably never expand to multiple locations because we're a bit more boutique-y, I try to run my business as if it's a franchise prototype.
Yeah,
that
scalable.
Makes sense. Totally scalable, and everything is a system, even how we answer the phones, how we shut down. And so, systems are huge.
Yeah, forget the Marea pilot. I want my engineer Paul to have the systems in place.
What? What?
You just woke him up.
Anything else you can think of as far as business lessons?
Oh, man. It's interesting. It's like, you know, when you're early on in your career, I think you kind of just first figure out how to be a technician, right? Then you kind of figure out, well, now how can I be my own business owner? And then I think that last phase, or when you're kind of peaked and plateaued in your career, you say, like, how can I enjoy this and have it actually contribute to my life more than just financially? So that's kind of, I think, where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I'm a perfectionist, as we all are to some extent. I think I've always tried to just tell myself early in my career, okay, if I just get this piece of technology, I'll be good. If I can just move, I can do this. Or I can just add 10 more new patients a month or whatever it is. And I've learned in wisdom, I think, that it's like everything's a continuum. There's never a destination, and it's always an evolution. And so you've got to stop and learn how to enjoy that.
Yeah.
Because the only destination in business really is like retirement.
That's right.
I mean, I'm just trying to kind of enjoy it and understand that every day I'm evolving and learning, and I think that's what I enjoy. It keeps me keeps me fresh and stimulated and interested.
It's about the journey, right? It's always about the
journey. It is. It's so cliche, but I think you wise up, you realize that there's a reason for that. Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
And having been in your office several times, I can tell it's very, very evident that it's it's an experience, right?
Yeah. And it is for us too. Yeah. And it's funny. Yeah. I've noticed that too. I would recommend that anybody that sees clients think about, and we always try to get out of our head and say, what is it like to be a guest of ours? You know, how does this place look? How does it smell? How does it feel? So I think you're always on your toes trying to kind of like reanalyze your situation, you know?
I just started thinking of a really funny story, and it's part you. I'm sure you remember when it was your birthday recently.
I might not have remembered it, actually.
So I was your first appointment that day, apparently, and Tawny had
Oh, my gosh. You guys almost gave me a heart attack.
I saw her kind of go through the side door, and I was I was in the parking lot, so I thought, no big deal. And when I got to the front door, she says, hurry, hurry, come in. Mark's coming. It's his birthday. Like, okay. And I stood.
Oh, I didn't even know this.
Yeah, so
okay.
You didn't know. I was sitting in your, you know, in your lovely entry or your lounge area. They had the balloons and the loud and the
The little confetti shooter and I almost dropped dead there.
You opened the door and I thought we were going to lose you. I'm CPR.
I think I dropped an explicit word or two. Yeah, out of happiness. That was awesome though. What a surprise.
Yeah, that was pretty great. So anyway, I digress. So clearly, you've done a lot of coaching and you have some really wise words. Or who some of your like favorite? Either podcasts or books or authors.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been doing a lot of audio lately, a lot of audiobooks. I don't really read paper books much anymore unless I can't find something I absolutely want. Podcasts, I love Dave Asprey and the Bulletproof stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like a futurist, so I love the concept of like Moore's Law and technology and where we're going. So Peter Diamandis and all that stuff I think is really cool. I love Joe Rogan's podcast. I've been doing a lot of that.
Do you meet the Ferris at all?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's awesome. Yeah. I just got 4-Hour Body. I read 4-Hour Work Week. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm still on the 32-Hour Work Week, so I got a few hours to shave off.
So his podcasts are pretty insane, too.
Yeah.
Because it's interviews with some great people.
Very natural, brilliant guy. But I love that he distills all these common traits between high performers. And I think, you know, whether it's like a celebrity or an athlete, I even say to myself, okay, as a dentist, right, how can I use some of these high performers, you know, biohacks to just do better,
What sort of trends are you seeing either from the business aspect of your of dentistry and or from the kind of the technology and tools, I guess?
Our patient's biggest commodity, I think, right now is time, you know, so any technology that can speed things up. So a huge thing right now that, and we've been doing this for some time, but the technology is getting better and better all the time, is traditionally for like a dental crown, you'd be seen in two separate visits. You know, you come in one time, you get the main bulk of the procedure done, you get into a temporary, you come back 2 weeks later, you get numb again, they've got to try it in.
Yeah, it's no fun.
It's no fun, yeah. So if you're a busy professional, you're taking two, 3 hour chunks out of your day. Time is money, not to mention just the inconvenience and wearing that for some time. So we've invested in this technology that's basically an optical scanner. So it's a completely digital workflow, no impressions, no gagging. We scan your teeth optically, similar to how we did with your aligners, but then we have a milling machine that mills your crown out of a solid block of porcelain with a 6-axis milling chamber.
Wow!
Right then and there. So it's totally digital. It's not analog. There's no impression, and the accuracy is amazing. The time is super, is just super cut down. So you can get a final permanent crown in 2 hours now.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and it's all getting done. You know, so anything like that that speeds up, you know, the workflow, saves our patients some time is amazing. But everything's just going digital.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna get to a point, I think, in a few years where the days of taking a physical mold and storing that heavy piece of stone. I mean, if you think about how archaic that is, it's a really, first off, it's a real estate issue where you're going to put all this model work, you know, when you have a practice that's 10, 15, 20 years old. But then now we can just store digital versions of you. I can pull up 2008 Bart and look at 2012 Bart and then superimpose those digital models.
Yeah.
And we can then objectively say, oh, yeah, you're drifting 2 millimeters on this tooth.
Yeah.
So it's just super accurate, super precise, and there's really not guessing like we used to do.
Yeah.
And the patient's more involved now. You know, it used to be like, we tell you what to do, you do it.
Yeah.
Now I think my role is to kind of coach you to health, just like a trainer would.
Yeah.
You know, say, here's what we recommend. This is the best. Here's what we see.
Yeah.
What would you like to do? Kind of a thing.
So I'm
kind of
going back to that. Can we go back to the 2008 Bart? Just bring back the whole body and,
yes.
and no aches and pains and no.
That would be awesome. I'm sure that technology is coming. We can do it with your teeth. That's for sure.
I will tell you, it did. It freaked me out in a good way when we were getting ready for the aligners and to see the model of the teeth. Just so vividly.
The simulation.
Yeah. It's insane. And then we've been watching the progress with the aligners.
You're engaged, right? And I think that makes more sense because ultimately, like any health thing is a choice. Just like, you know, like with your personal trainer at the gym, when you see results and you're part of the process and you understand it, you're owning it. And I think you see it through, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we take cues from that.
Yeah. Well, Mark, we're getting close to the end, and as our listeners know, we like to do or like to ask the final thought question. It's my honor. So why don't you share with us and the listeners your ultimate lesson learned over your career in the dental world?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's interesting because dentistry is very technical. So, like, material science and chemistry is at the forefront of everything that we do, you know, and it's all very precise. The margin of error in most cases is measured within microns, and that's how we're trained. And so as dentists, we just get like blinders, I think, sometimes, and we get so wrapped up in the minutia, which is totally critical, but we lose touch of the human connection. And so I think the biggest lesson for me, and I think this is totally universal in business, is that people are everything. I always say I'm in like a customer service business. I think ultimately my product is relationships. You know, I connect with people, I build trust. That's kind of my product. Along the way, we just like happen to do a little bit of dentistry here and there. So I think really just understanding that when we take our business hats off, that it's pretty much, you know, we're all humans. And if we make people comfortable, make our team comfortable, people build trust, it's always win-win.
Yeah. And I will say again, just to kind of give you a shout out. So when I was thinking about changing dentists and the couple people that I talked to, it was less about your skill, although that was not downplayed. It was more about your personable skills.
Yeah.
Which I think is super cool.
Right. And same is true of finance, right? Yeah. I mean, you can have two equally qualified industry people, but you know, if you have a better feeling and a connection and a communication style with somebody, I'm going to always choose that person.
Yeah. All right, Mark, thanks again for joining us in the studio today. And if you'd like to learn more about Mark and his practice, you can visit him at www.markolsonDDS.com. That's MarkOlsonDDS.com. You can also reach him at 949-764-0122. Thanks so much, everyone who's tuned in, and we look forward to being back in the studio next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.
Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only.